Hello and welcome to another edition here of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westerny Jr. As your host for the program, I'm glad that you've joined us. I want to say that to you, and I'd like to welcome you. If you're new, you will want to stay tuned because we have an exciting program planned. And if you've joined us for more than once and you are a regular listener of the More Abundant Life, also want to welcome you also, and of course you know that we have an exciting message and program for you. Actually, today's message is going to be the continuation and conclusion of a message that we heard in the last broadcast. This title today, The Power of One Woman's Ministry, Part 2. This is going to be program number 246 in our series, and the program will begin after we hear some very special music. Here's Wintley Phipps with a song entitled Hallelujah, A March. That's music by Wintley Phipps, Hallelujah, A March, from the CD entitled The Power of a Dream. You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast here, and we are now going to begin part two of the message, The Power of One Woman's Ministry. Here's Pastor Phipps.
The book of Judges, chapter 4, and I want to begin reading with verse 3. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron and 20 years. He mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee. I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. This journey will not be for your honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Sometimes God will call you out to fight where your enemy has the advantage so that when you gain the victory, you'll say, only the Lord could have done this for me. And what seemed to Barak like a prescription for disaster was just God preparing his people for victory. What seems like disaster is God's way of preparing you for victory. Oh, don't question the Lord. Barak marched with his army of 10,000 into the plains, just as the Lord had directed. The general of the opposing army, Sisera, saw Israel's army in the plains, and they looked like sitting ducks. He mounted a counterattack, and his plan was to surround Barak and his troops and destroy them. The Israelites saw that they were surrounded by 10,000 soldiers and 900 chariots of iron. They trembled for fear. You see, the enemy's chariots, and I did some research, the enemy's chariots had large knives sticking out of the wheels. And all they had to do was just ride, drive their chariots into Israel's soldiers, and it would literally cut them to pieces. Oh, but when God's servant Barak and his soldiers attacked the enemy, my Bible tells me God fought for Barak. And you can read it in Judges 5 and 6. We're told that suddenly a storm of rain, sleet, and hail burst over the plains from the east. It headed right, oh my God, right for the general Sisera and his army. Suddenly, Sisera's archers and their bows and arrows, they couldn't see because of the rain. My God is awesome. His archers were disabled by the rain. His swordsmen were crippled by the biting cold. Church, God shut Barak and his soldiers in a cocoon of protection, and he'll do it for you when your enemies come at you. Sisera, with all his soldiers, his equipment, his chariots, were no match for Barak because God was fighting on the side of Barak. The rainstorm God sent, listen, just in a few moments, caused the river Kishon to overflow its banks. No wonder God said, bring them to the river. I got them. Bring them to the plains. God was saying to Barak, their chariots may be made of iron, but I've got a secret weapon called mud. Mud. Sometimes God will recreate a road full of mud for your enemies. He'll slow down their chariots. And I can tell you, he's done it for me. Someone said a raindrop is a fragile little thing, but boy, put enough of them together, you can defeat a whole army. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, Sisera's armies and the horses and the soldiers panicked, they couldn't see well, they began killing each other. All the Israelites had to do was go through the battlefield and count the dead. My God. When Sisera saw that his army was defeated, and this is amazing, he was the only one, General Sisera, was the only one who was able to leave the battlefield alive. Because God had to fulfill the word of the prophetess. Amen? You see, God had to vindicate Deborah. Sisera ran, leaving his chariots behind, disguised himself as a common soldier, sought lodging in the tent of Heber, one of the descendants of Jethro. But Heber was not at home, but Heber's wife was home. She said, come on in, General Sisera. Rest. And she stopped. She put a blanket over him. He said to her, give me a little water to drink. She said, wait, I got something better for you. She gave him a container of milk. And he drank it, and she covered him. And in verse 20, he said to her, stand. He said to her, watch at the entrance to the tent. If anybody comes along and says, is there a man here? Say, no. And then the general went to sleep. And when Jael, Heber's wife, the woman Jael, realized who was sleeping in her tent, the Bible says she took a large nail, about this long, a tent peg, and put it against his temple, and with one blow of the hammer, pinned his head to the ground. Sneaked up on him, with one blow drove the tent nail through his temple. You see, he didn't realize that in the eastern days and nomadic days, it was the women who put up and took down the tents. She know how to use a hammer. And with one stroke, she sent that tent peg through Sisera's temple, shattering his head, killing him. And just as God has said through Deborah, he handed the life of the general Sisera over to a woman. Don't say loud, amen too loud, woman. I don't want you to get excited too much about this part of the sermon. But in taking the life of General Sisera, God was fulfilling the prophecy of Deborah. And as Barak came to the tent, she said to him, sir, come here, I will show you the man you are searching for. He went with her into the tent, and there Barak saw Sisera sprawled out with the tent nailed through his temple. As Deborah had prophesied, Sisera died at the hands of a woman. Now, church, Deborah and Barak celebrated. The Bible says they sang a duet together. Yep. Woo! Sang a duet. She called upon the kings and princes of the other nations. You see what God did for us? Amen. You better watch out. That's the essence of the song. The Bible says in verses 1, Judges 5, in that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang the victory song when the leaders took the lead in Israel. Oh, can you read it? Go, open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. Judges, chapter 5, verse 1. In that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this victory song. What was the victory song? When the leaders took the lead in Israel. When the leaders led. When the people answered the call to war. Hear, O kings. Pay attention, O rulers. I will sing to the Lord, I will sing to the Lord God of Israel. O Lord, when you departed from Seir, when you marched from Edom's plains, the earth shook, the heavens poured down, the clouds poured down rain, the mountains trembled before the Lord, the God of Sinai, before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, caravans disappeared. Travelers had to go on winding side roads. Warriors were scarce. They were scarce in Israel until you arose, Deborah. Have mercy, until you arose as a motherly protector in Israel. Now, church, when I studied that, I said, man, Deborah was awesome. But then when I went to Hebrews 11, go with me to with me. I went to Hebrews 11, and the Lord has his, are you still with me today? The Lord has his hall of faith, his faith hall of fame. And verse 32, look at what it said. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of God's heroes like Gideon and of Barak. Wait a minute. Gideon and who? And who? And Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, through faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and then check this out, gained strength in weakness, became mighty in battle, put foreign armies to flight. And I got to tell you, I asked myself and I asked the Lord, now, if Barak is listed in the Hall of Fame, why is Deborah's name, why is Deborah's name not there? One reason the Lord spoke to my heart and said, is God said, I knew Deborah could handle the omission. You see, a godly woman knows that she can be happy just knowing that God knows. A godly woman is happy knowing that God knows her contributions, and as long as she knows that God knows, she can handle the omission. And believe me, if Deborah was the kind of woman who was hung up on not being recognized, she wouldn't have been numbered here anyway. Does that make sense to you? Deborah, if Deborah couldn't handle not being recognized for her ministry contribution, her name would not have appeared here anyway. Besides, God has placed it so carefully in his word, and if you read it, you understand. Verse 34 of Hebrews 11, the Bible says, Barak gained strength in weakness. And he became what? Mighty in battle. But who did God use to give Barak strength in weakness? Who did God use to make Barak mighty in battle? God used the ministry of Deborah to help Barak gain strength in weakness. In God's word, Barak is portrayed as a man of weakness, and God uses Deborah to strengthen him. One writer said the absence of Deborah's name here is not an insult to her. It is a compliment to her. Whew. Because God knew that Deborah already understood that when you're all about ministry, you don't fight for recognition. Is that clear today? Remember, Deborah gave Barak the word to go to war. Deborah followed Barak into battle. Deborah was used of God to support Barak's weak leadership. Deborah did not seek a prominent leadership role for herself. And if you read the account carefully, you'll see that Deborah made it clear that God has designated Barak as the leader. Her ministry was to support the leader that God had appointed. It was her responsibility to do all she could to support and strengthen Barak. Brothers and sisters, because of Deborah, Barak became the leader he was supposed to become. And there was no conflict between Deborah and Barak over who's the boss or who's in charge. Each had their responsibility. They were a team. Deborah spoke the word. Barak fought the battle. Sounds like my house. My wife speaks the word. I go out and fight the battle. Amen. And blessed is any man who listens to the word coming from his godly wife. You'll win many battles if you just go fight the battles. Is this what we're supposed to do, baby? I'm out there. Deborah was God's mouthpiece and Barak was God's sword. Deborah didn't have to worry about who got the glory because she knew that all the glory belongs to God anyway. For they without us shall not be made perfect. Brothers and sisters, God is so awesome. At the end of the day, he gave the credit for capturing the general to a woman anyway. Usually, when a man becomes the kind of leader God wants him to be, there's usually a Deborah somewhere. Not in the spotlight. I'm looking at some Deborahs right now. He's flying high, but you're the wind beneath his wings. And if you're a smart brother, once in a while you'll just stop and say, thank you for being the wind beneath my wings. Barak could never have been listed in God's Faith Hall of Fame were it not for the ministry of Deborah. Isn't that awesome? I believe that whatever success I have experienced in my ministry is intricately related to the support and prayers of my wife and the members of my church. Ultimately, God deserves the credit. Now, we need some more Deborahs today. We need some women who are not hung up, who are all right, who are secure, knowing his name would never get there were it not for my ministry. And that's all right. God needs more Deborahs who are more worried about getting the job done than about who gets the credit. He's looking for more Deborahs who will speak his word in season, who will carry out their own unique ministry to the glory of God. And you know, in every church, there are jobs that need to be done and not enough people to do them. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. We are the ones who get hung up on who should lead and who should get the credit. And I ask you today, what has God called you to do in the church? Where has he called you to serve? Picking up trash in the church. It's an awesome responsibility. Trust in God to work through your weakness to help make his work strong. So as I leave you today, in this our scripture, God used a woman to speak for him, used a woman to help organize the soldiers, prepare them for battle, used a woman to capture the general. He needs a few more Deborahs today. Step up. Not worried about who gets the credit. Amen. Amen. You know, I come and I preach, and most of the time I don't know why the Lord had me preach a certain message, but the church members usually do. Amen. And I want to tell you something before I close that I came across. Someone said that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Sometimes the church will seem like a bewildering maze of board meetings. We are the meetingest church in the world. We have more meetings, department meetings, committee meetings, meet. Every department have its own program, and they need to meet over the program. And the materials, we got to meet over the materials. And to set the calendar, we need a meeting, and sometimes it'll just seem like it's a maze. But don't worry about that. God will work through that. In the days when the big DC-7s, big airplanes with the big propellers, they were the fastest planes across the country. And those who ever traveled on them knew that those engines were loud, almost break your eardrums. Those propellers shook the cabin. One night on a flight out of Los Angeles, one passenger was finding it difficult to get to sleep, and he made a negative comment, a derogatory comment about the noisy engines of the plane. And his companion, who was almost asleep, said, "Let's not complain. The time to complain is when we can't hear those engines." Huh? So yes, the church will seem like a buzz of activity. It'll seem like confusion sometimes, huh? But don't complain. The time to complain is when you don't hear anything. When there's no movement, no activity. We may wonder why you need all of that, but God will take care of it. God will bless it. Just do your part and don't worry about who gets the credit.
Well, that concludes our message for today, and that brings us just about to the end of our program for today. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, the title The Power of One Woman's Ministry, Part 2, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at the following phone number. That phone number is 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Please refer to program number 246. That's program number 246. And that will reference today's message, The Power of One Woman's Ministry, Part 2. I do hope that you will join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life. But until you can, my name is Adrian Westney Jr., wishing you God's richest blessings. And please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. Those words that we quote from program to program. "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your